true, though. And that, you know, at first, I didn't want to agree with it, but it's true. 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't as bad with women, but now it's really bad. Everything is security for a woman. If you can't bring security first to the relationship, then what are you doing here?
Welcome to another episode of Love Everyone Equally with your host, the underground artist, The Truth, and his lovely wife, Delta, where they discuss various topics on relationship, social, and cultural issues. So join them every week for new episodes. Don't forget to like, share, and follow. And remember to spread a little love to someone.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. I'm your host, Delta.
And I'm your host, Eugene.
So on this episode, we want to talk about relationships, loving your spouse or your significant other equally, and not taking them for granted. So I came across this post and I wanted Eugene's thought on it. So I'm gonna flip and afterwards Eugene will give our perspective.
I want you to evaluate your relationship with your spouse. You might not realize it that sometimes those petty arguments, those frivolous disagreements could destroy you because you're too focused on making money or being on TikTok or doing whatever, and you're not realizing that you got somebody in front of you that you love, and somebody who may not love you back. I beg you, don't wait till you get in my situation where you have a wife that you put in the ground on July 19th, and then September 8th, you're watching your son see your night, and he can't control his crying, or he's trying to be strong for me and for siblings, and everybody knows what you're going through, and you start to think about all the things you argued about, like all the things you disagreed about, and they're so meaningless, man. These diaspora wars are stupid. I'm not playing in those games. If God ever blesses me again to have somebody to love, I'm gonna love them well. I ain't gonna be doing all this 50-50 arguing about dumb stuff and trying to be in control, because I know the pain of losing somebody, and I know the pain of watching your kids lose their mother. Whoever got a shot at redeeming your relationship, you go for it.
First of all, I want to thank this brother for sharing his story and his message of what he's going through and what his family is facing. So, first off, I want to get your thought on that, Eugene.
I always try to be understanding to not only my spouse, but to anyone, because a moment can change people's outlook. You was emotional the other day. We was driving and we was talking about Eli, and it was an emotional time in the car, and I kept interrupting you. When you dealing with a loved one, it would be nice for everyone to be more understanding and try their best to have a positive outlook when they talking to a person that they truly love. But we don't. In this world, we continue to beat each other up, beat each other down. We need to grow and have more compassion. We're losing our compassion in the world. I try to show you, and I hope I show you that I do love you. My actions, I hope, show you that you are appreciated by me.
I know that your actions speak louder than your words. I know that coming from you that you have unconditional love for me. I think it's very important that not just in a relationship from boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife, but I think in any relationships, you should be very mindful and empathetic to that person's feelings, because, you know, time is very fleeting and time is very precious and it's very delicate. You know, that person can be here and gone tomorrow. It's no guarantee. Life is not for certain. And I think in any relationship, you should be willing to give 100%, but also you should be able to reciprocate that as well. His post, it just shows you that, you know, I think we get so caught up in the day-to-day struggles and the day-to-day emotions of just trying to live and make it and just survive, that the very little things as far as just being compassionate to one another, we take that for granted, it gets pushed to the back burner. I know that we've been talking about the loss of our son Elijah and how precious, you know, life is, and it really is, because we never would have thought in a million years that he wouldn't be here and that we would have had to bury him before he buried us. But also, we do have another son, Isaiah, and I want to make sure that going forward that I nurture and that I help that relationship between him and myself and him and you blossom, and let him know that he is loved and he's not by himself. He's going through a lot. You know, I think he has handled it very well, and I know a lot of times we get so caught up in just the grind of life that we don't take a moment to just let him know that we love him and acknowledge him. Since everything has happened, that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to be more conscientious of that, as well as not just him, but you as well. You know, I throughout the day, I try to send a text. If it's in the morning or in the evening or in afternoons or at night, I try to send some type of positive affirmation that I love you guys and that I'm very blessed and very thankful. And I think that's what this world needs, is just people taking that moment out just to give some type of affirmation. Let the person that they love know that they're thinking of them and they only want the best for them, and that, you know, that they're just reaffirming feelings for them and letting them know that someone is thinking of them, because you never know what someone is going through or what type of day they're having or what type of mindset they're in. And just that positive feedback might be the straw to, you know, break whatever mood they're in or whatever they're feeling. So I think it's very important to just be empathetic, and that, you know, in this world, we really need to start to have human connection more than social connections, you know, using the social media, texts, you know, emails. I think we need to really start to get back to just having interactions one-on-one in a one-on-one setting. I thought his message was very telling, because I think we do get so caught up in just our day-to-day lives that we take those little simple things or little special moments for granted.
I feel like just not with the people that you love, you need to be more understanding and thoughtful on your approach in your everyday life, because it be people that smiling and joking with you just so depressed and overwhelmed, and they'll come to you phony, like, hey, how you doing? You know, oh, I had a great weekend and things are beautiful. But they be walking away from you in that conversation, like hating themselves or hating life. When people talk, I try to pay attention.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I've experienced that with having interactions with people. I'll be the first to admit it. I've been in that situation where I've gone to work and I've put on like this mask of trying to be happy, but deep down I am unhappy because of everything that has happened in my life. Very occasionally that I have left a conversation and I felt like that person really understood me and that person really cared, and it really made my day, my whole mood change. I prayed that whoever spoke to me that day, if they was having a bad day, that maybe speaking with me made them feel better, gave them some type of positive energy or positive reinforcement. Because I know it's a lot of people out here that's very angry and that's full of hate. They're mad at the world. So you don't get anything, you don't get any positive soul food from them. But then there are people that are happy, loving, caring, that you do get positive soul food from, that nourish your spirit and your mind, that makes you want to keep going, you know. And I think we need to acknowledge those people and try to be a positive light for someone else that might need that.
Yeah.
You know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I want to be around people that's going to spiritually feed me and help me to grow, to become a more stronger spiritual essence for someone else. I can't, at this stage of my life, I feel like I can't be around those that's not positive, you know, that don't give anything. They just take and take and take spiritually, physically, and mentally from you, you know?
I like to switch it up a little bit. Before I play this, I'm sorry, I apologize, whoever get offended. But this is another topic I want to talk.
You don't raise your children the way we do. I mean, a 9-year-old boy in Gaza is more of a man than a 25-year-old in America. You prolong adolescence to an absurd degree. You don't prioritize maturity. But at the same time, you sexualize your children very early. I mean, you've got like third graders twerking, you know, and singing explicit song lyrics, and then you put that on social media for everyone to see. You're teaching kindergartners about sex, masturbation, about homosexuality and transgenderism. You think that prepubescent children can decide to have their genitals removed before they even know what they're actually for. You put little girls in beauty contests and try to turn them into, you know, miniature Beyoncés and Cardi B's singing about WAP. 12% of 12-year-olds in the U.S. are already sexually active at 12. And that's from a study 10 years ago. So you can expect that the percentage is even higher now. 6.5% of them had actually already engaged in anal sex by the age of 12. The majority of sex offenders in the West victimized children. And they say about 90% of sexual assaults on children are never even reported. So imagine what the real numbers are. No, you have a pedophilia problem in the West. And no matter how much you wish you could, you can't shift that over to us. We're not going to help you justify your sickness. Islam does not approve of this.
What's your opinion on that?
My stance on it is, I feel like we as a nation, and I know this is probably not going to be of popular opinion, but it's not about being popular, and it's not about offending anyone. It's just the truth. I think that we as a nation, as a culture, should allow children to be children.
Yes.
I think growing up, it was certain things as a child we wasn't privy to.
Yeah.
As a child, wasn't privy to seeing sexual acts. I wasn't privy to being in grown people conversation.
Yeah.
I wasn't privy to making decisions for the household.
Mm-hmm.
I was always taught a child should be seen but not heard. And I know it's a lot of the parents that probably wouldn't agree with that. But when we started allowing the state and the government to come into our school systems and tell us what is important and what curriculum and what our kids should be exposed to, I think that's when a lot of the issues started happening. I think it's all about an agenda. I think it's to push that because of pedophilia. I think a lot of this, trans that, and I'm not very educated on that, so I don't understand. I am older, so for me, my perspective of the pronouns and the sexual orientation is not I'm not educated on that. All I can speak from is from my point of view, my belief, and I think that it's not able to put that on children. Children are very impressionable. Their minds, they have not developed mentally and physically to understand those behaviors. And I think as a society, we need to leave the children alone and allow them to be children. Our music, our television, is too overly sexualized. And it's too much. It's allowing the kids to have access to too much of seeing that. I don't think a 9-year-old should know about masturbation.
No.
Or any type of sexuality.
Yeah.
He's 9. She's 9. Allow them to be kid. A 9-year-old kid. They have the rest of their life to decide what their sexual orientation is and how they want to be perceived in the world. But allow them at this innocent age to just be innocent children and have fun and just live and grow. I mean, I think it's crazy to just put all this ideology on these children.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you should want to protect your child. And I'm sure there's parents out there that's like, oh, well, I believe in letting my child have free expression, and I'm for letting them explore their sexual orientation. And that's fine. That's your child. You do as you choose. But for those that don't, I don't think they should be criticized or deemed homophobic or transphobic or any type of phobic because they feel in their best interest what is best for their child. All this other ideology or agenda that our government or our society or the higher ups or the elites are trying to push on our kids, we need to stand up against that. As parents, we should. You should have a right to voice your feelings on what you feel is best for your child.
I'm going to say this. When I think about sexuality for a young man or a young woman, when I was growing up, I would have a dude in the class that I knew he had some, you know, feminine ways or was gay, whatever. I think about how, you know, the people who struggle with that and their fathers didn't want to accept that and their moms didn't want to accept who they truly was and how they had to stay in a closet, and it was a lot of suicides. No one should not feel accepted, you know. So the agenda of throwing it in our face and saying gaining your rights and feeling entitled to a position. I think that this is how I live my life. What you do don't affect me. So if you like boys, girls, you want to be a boy, you want to be a girl, that's your choice. I have nothing to do with your choice. Do I think it's left sometimes? Yes. Do I think it's over, what's the word, over?
Saturated?
Yes. Yes, I do. Is it in my face all the time? Yes. But doesn't change my feeling. If that's who you are, that's your choice of who you are. But don't force. If you're a guy that want to be a girl, you can do that. Don't go joining a sport that's girls' sport and you used to be a boy and thinking that the playing fields are even now because you identify as a girl. You can't switch and play a sport where the girls who actually was born into this world to be a girl and go dominate that sport as a guy that transitioned to a girl. That's unfair. And for you to think that, oh, it's okay, you a homophobe, you ignorant, if you think anything else, I feel like you're ignorant and are trying to force your way into a category or position that wasn't naturally yours.
I just want to piggyback off of that. I think that this is not really a very controversial topic. I think that people make it that way because they want to be right.
Yes.
And if you disagree with what the majority is going with, then they ostracize you.
Yes.
And it's so, I've never understood that. If you're, whatever your lifestyle is, that's your lifestyle.
Your lifestyle.
I have no issue with that. The issue that I have is the people that feel like they've been ostracized for their lifestyle. They have gotten to this mindset that if you disagree with their lifestyle, they're ostracizing you. And that is just crazy to me. Now you've become the bearer of hatred. You've become the bearer of bigotry. And I just don't understand that. You know, we all have God-given abilities. We all have God-given right. We all have free will. I'm not judging someone for their lifestyle or for how they choose to live their lifestyle or what they do in a bedroom. My thing is, don't judge me for what I believe, you know, or what somebody else might believe that might differ from your belief. And I think that's what the issue is, because people don't want to listen to different viewpoints. Everyone wants to be right. You can be whoever you want to be. I just feel like when it comes to children, that type of narrative and that type of approach should not be forced upon kids. I think kids should be that. Children, they should be kids. They shouldn't be dealing with all this stuff going on in the world.
I think as a dad, to reject your son because he's gay, is ignorant. I want to protect our children better moving forward in this world. We are not doing a good job at that. It was kids depressed back in my day, but it was a lot more tough love back then and reality.
Now it's just pacifying.
Pacifying.
I think that in this society, we have gotten from living in reality. It's like, you see these kids now, or these younger people, or this younger generation that feels that they're entitled to everything. They shouldn't have to work. They shouldn't be told what to do. They should be able to do as they want, you know, and that's fine. But the reality is, you're going to have to work to survive. You're going to have to accept rejection. You're not going to always have things handed to you, you're not going to always get your way. That's the whole dysfunction of this society. It's like people have really lost common morals. There is no morals. It's like, oh, well, they can do what they want to do because they can do what they want to do. And it's just like, okay, well, morally, I can do what I want to do because I feel the way that I was raised and brought up in my belief, I can morally do that then.
If you did something wrong when we was 12 and under, you got your ass whooped. Some calls it abuse these days, but you got your ass whooped. If you bring a boy in a house when your parents wasn't home, you getting your ass whooped if your parents found out. Nowadays, we're inviting the boyfriend over. We're letting them in the room together, and we're asking them to respect our house. Well, we disrespected our house once we let him in and go in that room.
Or accept the behavior.
Yes. Yeah. So
and please don't get it conscrewed. We're not advocating for child abuse.
No,
we're not. We're talking about discipline.
Yes. A lot of people back in the day also was abused badly.
Abusive. We're not talking about abusive
the parents. The parents had issues beyond the parenting. They was abused as children and they didn't know how to truly discipline their child. I thank God for getting me through life so far. And I had discipline. And trust me, I feared my parents.
Yeah.
No one fears these teenagers. Do not fear their parents. They're going out doing these flash mobs, jumping on people, $40,000 vehicles, causing damage, and walking away, busting store windows, rioting. If you're doing it with a message, a true message, not no BS. If you're doing it because the government is crooked and the issues with the society and the world, I see you protesting. It's a better way to go about it. But I understand that protest. But they're not doing that. They're just doing flash mob, causing chaos. There's no discipline. They're not fearing their parents. Parents are not feared. This is so true.
You're going to get all kind of backlash on that one.
It's true, though. And that, you know, at first, I didn't want to agree with it, but it's true. 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't as bad with women, but now it's really bad. Everything is security for a woman. If you can't bring security first to the relationship, then what are you doing here? Women are more unemotional. And I like to say this, it's because of a man. You know, a lot of us are not designed to have one woman. We're whores. Women cannot keep up with a man's sexual drive in no relationship. That's one. But instead of being honest to women, men lied over years and years, and women will fall in love with a man, you know what I'm saying? That man will go and cheat and use and mistreat her, and her heart become broken, and she becomes lost and bitter. And then that bitter woman, through that process, taught their daughters that if this man don't have A, B, and C, move the fuck on. Don't waste your time. Love is important, but love is not the number one goal. The number one goal is security. If a woman can get on this pod and tell me that they're not teaching their daughters that love is not as important as security, I want to hear, what are you telling your daughter to make her have that mindset of a gold digger?
Well, I am a woman. I don't have daughters. I have nieces. I think what the gentleman said, I'll agree with it. For women now, these modern women, because I'm not a modern woman, I'm a traditional woman. I believe in family. I believe in equal partnership. I believe in allowing the man to be the leader of the household. Because at the end of the day, as a woman, I don't want to take on that burden of what a man has to deal with. I don't want to be the breadwinner. I don't want to deal with the issues that men deal with, because that's not how I was designed. That's not how I was raised. You know, I didn't come from a dysfunctional background, but also I knew that there were roles. You know, I saw my grandfather be the breadwinner. He's the man to go out, work, make money, come back. And my grandmother was in the role of taking care of the household, making sure the kids were taken care of, cooking, cleaning. She paid the bills that, you know, the money my grandfather brought in that worked for them. I think it's about what we are teaching our young ladies. And when I say it's what we're teaching our young ladies, I mean, what as a mother is you teaching your daughter that's most important? I think from just listening to different podcasts and different interviews and different shows, I think a lot of times women have the ideology of material equals love. Material things equal love. For me, I don't think that's true. I think love is unconditional. Love is loving somebody that doesn't make as much money as you. Love is being compassionate for that man because of what he's going through and what he's dealing with, vice versa, him being compassionate and loving for what you're going through. I think the roles are flip-flopped. You know, you have the women trying to be men, and then you have the men accepting to be a woman.
Yes.
And if that works in your household, more power to you. But traditionally, it's supposed to be the man is supposed to be the leader of the home. And I'm sure I probably get a lot of negative comments about what I'm saying, but it's the truth. At the end of the day, if you look at a lot of these homes, you have single parent mothers raising young men, and what are they raising them to be?
Yeah.
You have to have some type of positive role male model in those young men life. Like I told Eugene, when it came to our relationship and our boys, I told him, I was like, I can raise my kids, I can take care of them, I can give them love, I can nurture them, but at the end of the day, what I cannot do is raise them to be a man, because I am not a man. I don't know what men go through. I don't experience things the way a male experiences. Yes, I experience things as Eugene does because of the color of our skin and our race, but mine is totally different than his. My experience is totally different than his. Whereas he is not able to get into certain ceilings, I am, mm-hmm. because I'm a woman and because I'm looked at as not being more of a threat.
Yeah.
And whereas he might be able to get higher wages because of him being a man, because he's stronger and he can do that labor and I'm not able to, he gets into those areas. So I think that for some reason, our society is so divisive, and it's not just male, woman, it's everything, classism, socialism, now it's sexual orientation and divisive. Everyone is so divisive. It's like you can't express your feelings, you can't be open, you can't have open conversations where people can agree to disagree. It's crazy to me that we have become this divisive in every aspect of our lives.
I agree with a lot of what you say, but I just want to add on. You do have women out there that are very aggressive and are manly in their approach in life because they was raised by a very strong woman or a very strong man. And then women are usually a black woman. When she's like that, they move up in company.
From my point of view and my perspective, yes, you do have black women that are very aggressive, that are very strong will and dominant when it comes to the corporate world. We're talking about being nurturing and unconditional, having unconditional love. I think when it comes to that, a lot of these women don't know how to turn it off when it comes to their relationship or when it comes to their children.
No.
So you end up having this imbalance because
I see what you're saying.
She's constantly in that male spirit all the time that she doesn't know how to be in her woman spirit.
That's true.
So for me, when I say I want to have positive male figures in my son's life, that is what I mean, because I can't be a strong-willed man and then be a very nurturing woman.
Because now I think about it, a man usually who is very strong at work and demanding, he isn't that at home.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not. You have a lot of men that come home that
black men.
Yeah. You have a lot of men that come home, a lot of black men that come home, and that is very servient to their wives in a sense. And they allow her to run the house.
Yeah.
And they don't overstep the boundary.
That's true.
It's like the woman is the founder and the husband is the co-founder. And whatever mama says goes, you know, and the father backs her up. He is like their bodyguard in a sense because of his domineering and his presence. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times as women, we get that so wrong. We feel like we have to be strong at work and then we have to come home and still have that same strong masculine energy at home. And it's like,
or shit won't get done.
Yeah. And it's like, you have to pick your, for me, you have to pick your poison. And I'm sure this probably isn't going to sit well with a lot of people or go over their head. And that's fine. This is my personal feeling. And you can agree to disagree. I feel like in order for our girls and our boys to be successful, we have to have positive role models in their lives. True. And you have to teach your kids how to be nurturing as well as strong will. It has to be a balance. And I feel like we don't have that balance anymore. Everybody is like strong will. And a woman, we are very emotional beings because that is just our nature. And with men, y'all very logical, you know. And a lot of times these children are being raised in a very emotional, strong will environment, and they don't have the balance of any type of logical thinking. I mean, it's a very debatable conversation. So guys, that is going to do it for this episode. We want to thank you again for checking us out and listening to us. And please don't forget to like, share, and follow us on all social media. Our IG account is LME446. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.